Honorable Speaker of Parliament of Uganda, Your Lordship, the Chief Justice, the Right Honorable Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Your Lordship, the Deputy Chief Justice, the Vice Chairman of the NRM Party, the Right Honorable Prime Minister, the Right Honorable Deputy Prime Ministers, Honorable Ministers, and Ministers of State, Your Excellencies, the Heads of Diplomatic Missions, Honorable Members of Parliament, former leaders, traditional leaders, religious leaders, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Speaker, sir, in accordance with Article 155 of the Constitution of the Republic of Uganda and the Public Finance Management Act, CAP 171, and on behalf of His Excellency the President, I present to Parliament and the people of Uganda the National Budget for Financial Year 2026-2027 as approved by this Parliament. In this speech, I will, number one, present the recent performance of the economy and the outlook for the year ahead. Two, account to the people of Uganda on commitments made in financial year 2025-2026 that is coming to an end in a few days. Three, highlight government priorities for financial year 2026-2027. And four, outline the strategy for financing the budget. Right Honorable Speaker, allow me to begin by congratulating His Excellency the President and the National Resistance Movement upon the resounding victory in the recently concluded general elections. In addition, I congratulate His Excellency the President upon assuming chairmanship of the East African Community. This is in recognition of his exemplary leadership and passion for advancing regional integration and Pan-Africanism. I also congratulate Her Excellency the Vice President, Right Honorable Speaker, Right Honorable Deputy Speaker, Right Honorable Prime Minister, colleagues, Honorable Ministers, Honorable Members of Parliament, and all other leaders elected to serve our country during this important phase of Uganda's development. Mr. Speaker, sir, I wish to thank His Excellency the President for the confidence he has placed in me and my political leadership team by entrusting us with the responsibility of leading the Minister of Finance, Planning and Economic Development. I also would like to thank and congratulate my senior, Honorable Matia Kasaija, for the leadership and mentorship in the past 10 years. Your Excellency, we accept this responsibility with humility, determination, and a clear understanding of the task before us. That task is to accelerate wealth creation, eliminate poverty, create productive jobs, and transform Uganda into a $500 billion economy in the shortest possible time. Right Honorable Speaker and colleagues, Uganda enters this new political term from a position of strength. Unlike many previous election cycles that were characterized by high inflation, exchange rate instability, and macroeconomic uncertainty, our economy remains stable and resilient and is growing rapidly. Mr. Speaker, sir, this achievement is not accidental. It is a result of deliberate and consistent policy choices under the leadership of His Excellency the President and the NRM government. For more than three decades, government has prioritized peace and security, macroeconomic stability, infrastructure development, human capital development, wealth creation, and regional integration. As a result, Uganda has built one of the strongest foundations of socio-economic transformation on the African continent. Uganda has number one, sustained long-term economic growth above 5% despite repeated global shocks. Two, surpassed the lower middle income threshold of United States dollars 1,136 with gross national income per capita reaching United States dollars 1,389. Three, we have recorded one of the strongest external sector performances in recent history, nearly doubling exports over the last 5 years. Four, we have expanded access to health, education, and social services. Five, we have built critical infrastructure that supports investment and competitiveness. And six, we have established a solid foundation for industrialization and private sector-led growth. Mr. is no longer simply growing the economy. The challenge is ensuring that growth translates into jobs, household incomes, enterprise development, and prosperity for every Ugandan. That is the essence of full monetization, as His Excellency the President has consistently emphasized. That is the focus of the Tenfold Growth Strategy, and it is the central objective of this budget. Mr. Speaker, sir, financial year 2026-2027 marks the commencement of the implementation of the NRM Manifesto. It is also the second year of implementing the fourth National Development Plan, the first plan specifically designed to deliver the Tenfold Growth Strategy. Mr. Speaker, sir, and honorable colleagues, in the spirit of protecting the gains, we have maintained the financial year 2026-2027 budget theme as full monetization of Uganda's economy through commercial agriculture, industrialization, expanding and broadening services, digital transformation, and market access. This theme is aligned with the East African Community budget theme of deepening regional integration and economic resilience through improved regional security, domestic revenue mobilization, and digital transformation for inclusive growth. I now come to the recent economic performance and outlook. Mr. Speaker, sir, despite geopolitical tensions, global trade disruptions, and continued uncertainty in the world economy, Uganda's economic outlook remains strong and positive. The economy is stable, growth is accelerating, inflation is low, the exchange rate is stable, exports are rising, investment is increasing, and confidence in Uganda's future remains strong. Mr. Speaker, sir, Uganda's economy continues to demonstrate remarkable resilience and dynamism. Economic growth for financial year 2025 2026 is estimated at 6.4%, up from 6.3% in financial year 2024-2025. The size of the economy is projected to increase to approximately United States dollars 69.3 billion, equivalent to Uganda shillings 250.4 trillion by the end of June 2026. In purchasing power parity terms, Uganda's GDP is estimated to be United States dollars 197.1 billion. GDP per capita is projected to increase to United States dollars 1,420, equivalent to approximately Uganda shillings 5.1 million per person. Mr. Speaker, sir, with the commercial oil production commencing later this calendar year, growth is projected to accelerate to 10.2% in financial year 2026-2027. This will mark Uganda's first return to double-digit growth since the reforms of the 1990s. Most importantly, a larger economy will accelerate more jobs, raise household incomes, expand opportunities for businesses, and generate the resources required to invest in quality education, health care, infrastructure, security, and other public services that improve the lives of Ugandans. This performance confirms that our strategy of investing in security, infrastructure, wealth creation, and the productive sectors is delivering results. I thank His Excellency the President for his steadfast leadership, strategic guidance, and insistence on phased prioritization. Mr. Speaker, I wish to repeat this one. This performance confirms our strategy of investing in security, infrastructure, wealth creation, and the productive sectors is delivering results. I thank His Excellency the President for his steadfast leadership, strategic guidance, and insistence on phased prioritization. Colleagues, I invite you to give His Excellency the President a round of applause. I now come to inflation. Mr. Speaker, sir, inflation remains low and stable. Average inflation during financial year 2025-2026 is estimated at 3.8%, compared to 3.5% recorded the previous financial year. This stability has been supported by effective coordination between fiscal and monetary policy, stable food prices, and improved management of fuel supply. Low inflation protects household incomes, supports business planning, and strengthens investor confidence. Government remains committed to maintaining price stability as a cornerstone to sustained economic growth. Right Honorable Speaker, the strength of an economy is reflected not only in how much it produces, but also in the confidence it inspires among investors, visitors, citizens, and at home and abroad. I am pleased to report that confidence in Uganda's economy continues to grow, foreign direct investment remains strong at United States dollars 3.2 billion in the 12 months ending March 2026. This reflects growing investor confidence in Uganda's economy. Of even greater significance, investors are increasingly expressing interest in Uganda's small and medium enterprises. Kampala-based startups attracted about United States dollars 30 million in 2025, up from just United States dollars 4 million a year before. This surge signals growing confidence in Uganda's innovation ecosystem and affirms our emergence as a destination for entrepreneurship, technology and investment. Mr. Speaker, remittances from Ugandans working abroad have significantly increased to US dollars 2.8 billion in the 12 months to March 2026 from US dollars 1.9 billion a year before. Remittances provide an important source of foreign exchange, investment, capital, and household income. Mr. Speaker, sir, tourism has fully recovered from the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Tourism receipts increased to United States dollars 1.86 billion in 2025, compared to United States dollars 1.4 billion in 2018-2019, before the COVID pandemic. This remarkable recovery from the lowest receipts of US dollars 562 million recorded in 2020 demonstrates growing international confidence in Uganda as a destination for business, investment and leisure. Government remains committed to safeguarding and expanding this vital source of foreign exchange and jobs by increasing investment in tourism infrastructure, the sector, security and our missions abroad to effectively advance economic and commercial diplomacy. Mr. Speaker, sir, the remains one of the Africa's best performing freely floating currencies. This stability reflects prudent macroeconomic management, a liberalized foreign exchange regime, and a strong foreign exchange inflows from exports, tourism, foreign direct investments, portfolio inflows, and remittances. As a result, Uganda's foreign exchange reserves are now at United States dollars 6 billion in the 12 months to March 2026, up from United States dollars 3.6 billion a year before. Government's decision to directly import petroleum products through the Uganda National Oil Company, UNOC, has further strengthened supply stability and reduced speculative pressures in the foreign exchange market. We expect the exchange rate to remain broadly stable despite ongoing global uncertainties. On the external sector, Right Honorable Speaker, Uganda's export performance has been exceptional. Over the last 5 years, exports of goods and services have increased by approximately 204%. Total export earnings reached US dollars 18.04 billion in the 12 months to March 2026 from US dollars 5.93 billion in the 12 months to March 2022. The leading exports include gold, coffee, cocoa, fish products, steel products, sugar, and a growing range of manufactured goods. Our coffee exports reached USD 2.46 billion for the year ending March 2026, up from USD 1.84 billion a year before. Uganda's exports mainly go to the Middle East, which accounts for US dollars 6.3 billion, Africa accounts for US dollars 4.1 billion, Asia accounts for US dollars 2.0 billion, and the European Union accounts for 2.5 billion US dollars, and the rest of the world accounts for 3.1 billion. This success reflects deliberate government policy focused on industrialization, value addition, export promotion, and market access. The exports are not merely a trade statistic. They are the engine of Uganda's transformation. They generate foreign exchange, they create jobs, they support enterprise growth, and they strengthen economic resilience. As a result of strong export performance, remittances and investment inflows, Uganda recorded a balance of payment surplus of United States dollars, $2.47 billion, 12 months to March 2026, the highest in 15 years. On employment creation, Right Honorable Speaker, the ultimate test of economic policy is whether it improves the livelihoods of our people through productive employment. Uganda's economy is gradually undergoing structural transformation. The services sector now accounts for 50.5% of total employment, up from 47% previously, while the share of employment to agriculture has declined from 40% to 37.1%. On the other hand, industry accounts for approximately 12.4% of total employment. These shifts are good and are consistent with the structural transformation experienced by today's rich economies, which moved from raw to higher productivity sectors. Mr. Speaker, sir, the capacity of our economy to generate formal employment continues to improve. Employment in private formal establishments has increased by 245%, from approximately 672,300 workers in financial year 2016-2017 to over 2,319,683 workers in financial year 2024-2025. This is in addition to the 503,738 public sector jobs and 10,513,014 informal jobs reported in April 2026. This growth in jobs confirms that Uganda's economy is not only growing but also creating productive jobs for Ugandans. This is on account of deliberate government interventions to create jobs through industrialization and wealth creation. However, creating more productive jobs for our rapidly growing population remains an urgent economic priority. This is why government is investing in ATMs and enablers to create jobs at a scale, especially for young people. Going forward, every major intervention in the national budget will ultimately be judged by its contribution to jobs, incomes, and improved livelihoods. On fiscal performance, Mr. Speaker, sir, government's capacity to finance its development agenda using domestic resources continues to strengthen. This financial year, domestic revenue collections are projected at Uganda shillings 35.7 trillion compared to Uganda shillings 32.3 trillion collected the previous financial year. Mr. Speaker, this financial year 2025-2026, domestic revenue from taxes, non-tax revenues, and local government revenues funded up to 80.9% of the total discretionary budget of Uganda shillings 44.1 trillion. The discretionary budget includes all funds allocated to implementing programs excluding debt and other government obligations. This represents significant progress towards fiscal self-reliance and reduced dependence on external financing. Mr. Speaker, sir, increasing domestic revenue is not merely a fiscal objective. It is a sovereignty objective. A country that finances its development from its own resources enjoys greater policy independence, resilience, and sustainability. Therefore, government will continue to strengthen domestic revenue in line with the domestic revenue mobilization strategy, while preserving incentives for investment, production, and enterprise growth. In financial year 2026-2027, domestic revenue is projected to increase to Uganda shillings 45.6 trillion from Uganda shillings 35.7 trillion in financial year 2025-2026, equivalent to 15.9% of GDP. The additional resources will support investments in the wealth creation, ATMs, and their enablers. I now come to public debt, Right Honourable Speaker. Mr. Speaker, as of December 2025, Uganda's total public debt stood at United States dollars 34.86 billion, equivalent to approximately Uganda shillings 126.19 trillion. Of this, external debt amounted to US dollars 15.84 billion, while domestic United States dollars 19.02 billion. This translates into a debt to GDP ratio of approximately 53.0%. Mr. Speaker, public debt should always be assessed alongside the assets it finances and the economic returns it generates. Over the past 10 years, Uganda's debt has financed strategic investments that are transforming the productive capacity of our economy. These investments include, number one, integrated transport infrastructure, which accounts for 31.1% of the debt. Number two, electricity infrastructure, which accounts for 19.3%. Three, water infrastructure, which accounts for 10.3%. Four, agro-industrialization, which accounts for 9.2%. Five, education and health, which accounts for 7.7%. Six, housing and urban development, which accounts for 6.3%. Seven, industrial parks and industrial development, which accounts for 2%. And other investments, such as national backbone infrastructure to extend internet, STI, and regional development, which accounts for 7.0%. Mr. Speaker, Uganda's public debt remains sustainable and is projected to stay so over the medium and the long term. Accountability for financial year 2025-2026 and priorities for financial year 2026-2027. Mr. Speaker, when the budget for financial year 2025-2026 was presented last year, government made several commitments aimed at accelerating monetization of the economy and implementing the tenfold growth strategy. The budget focused on three broad areas, namely, number one, wealth creation programs, two, strategic investments in the ATMs, and three, investment in the key enablers of growth. I am pleased to report that substantial progress has been made in all the three areas above. On wealth creation, Mr. Speaker, the foundation of Uganda's economic transformation is ensuring that every Ugandan participates in the money economy. Government, therefore, has continued to invest in programs that expand access to affordable capital, strengthen enterprise development, and increase household incomes. To date, government has invested close to Uganda shillings 11 trillion directly into wealth creation initiatives, targeting households in subsistence economy, farmers, youth, women, and businesses. These interventions are reducing barriers to participation in economic activity while expanding opportunities across the country. Let me highlight what we have done in the flagship wealth creation programs. On parish development model, Mr. Speaker, the parish development model remains government's most important intervention for eliminating subsistence and expanding participation in the money economy. I wish to thank His Excellency the President for his vision and unwavering commitment to this program. PDM is not merely a financing program. It is a structural transformation program. Its objective is to move households from subsistence to commercial production, from survival to enterprise, and from poverty to prosperity. Over the past 5 years, government has transferred Uganda shillings 4.4 trillion to all 10,589 parishes nationwide and as a revolving capital. Ugandans who were previously outside the money economy are now engaged in money-making enterprises. By the end of this month, PDM funds will have reached over 4 million beneficiaries. The PDM is raising household incomes, improving food security, and creating local economic opportunities for Ugandans who previously relied on subsistence production. Mr. President, thank you for your visionary leadership. The next phase of the PDM will focus on boosting productivity, strengthening value addition, and improving market access for the PDM beneficiaries. My ministry will seek policy guidance to ensure that the underserved and densely populated parishes, particularly in urban areas, receive adequate funding. Equally important, we will begin a gradual deliberate transition from government transfers to a self-sustaining financial ecosystem. Ultimately, a PDM bank underpinned by strong repayment performance, governance, and value chain development. I now come to other wealth creation programs. Mr. Speaker, in addition to the PDM, government has continued supporting enterprise development through other wealth funds, namely, one, Emyoga. Government has capitalized the program with Uganda shillings 760 billion in revolving funds. To date, 7,148 Emyoga circles have been established with over 2.48 million members and cumulative savings of Uganda shillings 95.3 billion. An additional Uganda shillings 100 billion has been allocated in financial year 2026-2027. Number two, Katale loan facility. The government through the microfinance support center, introduced this wealth fund to expand access to affordable working capital for market vendors and urban informal operators. It is currently piloted in 6 major markets within the Kampala metropolitan area and will be rolled out nationwide in financial year 2026-2027. The piloted markets are St. Balikudembe, commonly known as Owino, Nakawa, Karerwe, Busega, Nakasero, and Gaba markets. The facility is providing working capital loans at an interest rate of 8% per annum. 3, the Small Business Fund. This fund, initially called the Small Business Recovery Fund, was established in 2021 to help small businesses affected by COVID-19 to recover. The fund has disbursed over Uganda shillings 82.1 billion to more than 4,031 small and medium enterprises. It provides affordable financing of up to Uganda shillings 500 million at a 10% interest rate to formal enterprises employing at least 2 people. 4 is the agricultural credit facility. Government has invested a total of Uganda shillings 371.7 billion in the facility as a co-financing with participating financial institutions. The facility has cumulatively disbursed Uganda shillings 1.35 trillion to more than 14,000 beneficiaries. In financial year, an additional Uganda shillings 47.68 billion has been allocated to further capitalize the facility. 5, large-scale commercial farmers financing scheme. In financial year 2025-2026, Uganda shillings 41 billion was provided for interest payments on behalf of the large-scale farmers cultivating over 50 acres of grain and animal feeds. This support has so far enabled 186 farmers to access a total of Uganda shillings 169.1 billion from government-owned commercial banks. The farmers are expected to repay the principal while government pays the interest on their behalf. An additional 41 billion Uganda shillings has been allocated for financial year 2026-2027. 6, Uganda Development Bank. Government has cumulatively capitalized Uganda Development Bank with shillings 1.6 trillion to provide long-term patient capital to strategic sectors vital for industrialization and value addition. The bank has extended over Uganda shillings 2.45 trillion in financing to more than 600 businesses across agriculture, manufacturing, tourism, construction, and services. An additional Uganda shillings 442.2 billion has been allocated in financial year 2026-2027 to further capitalize Uganda Development Bank. 7, Grow and Other Women Funds. Through the World Bank financed Grow project, Uganda shillings 133.14 billion in soft loans has been extended to 6,584 women-owned businesses support their transition from informality. This complements Uganda shillings 153.5 billion previously disbursed under the Uganda Women Entrepreneurship Program, WEP, which has benefited 244,805 women. 8, youth empowerment programs. The Youth Livelihood Program has financed 24,859 projects, benefiting 275,034 youth at a cost of Uganda shillings 195.4 billion. Quite of 57,849 youth have benefited from the Youth Venture Capital Fund. Number 9 is the revolving fund for the creative artists. Government has provided Uganda shillings 33 billion to establish a revolving fund for musicians and other creatives to promote enterprise growth and job creation. 10, support features circles. Government released Uganda shillings 20 billion to private teachers unions to strengthen teachers' welfare through improved access to affordable credit. This is in addition to the earlier Uganda shillings 25 billion that was provided to Walimu Sako umbrella structures. Mr. Speaker, sir, these wealth creation interventions have expanded access to affordable capital, strengthened enterprise growth, and created jobs. In financial year 2026-2027, government has allocated an additional Uganda shillings 2.49 trillion in wealth creation programs to accelerate monetization of the economy and expand wealth creation. I now come to accelerating tenfold growth through the ATMs. Mr. Speaker, having expanded access to capital through our wealth creation programs, government is now intensifying investment in the sectors that will drive Uganda's next phase of economic transformation. These sectors are collectively known as the ATMs, i.e. number 1, agro-industrialization, number 2, tourism development, 3, mineral-based industrial development, including oil and gas, and 4, science, technology, and innovations, including ICT and the creative arts. These sectors are deliberately selected because they represent Uganda's strongest comparative advantages and possesses the greatest potential to generate exports, jobs, incomes, and investments. Together, they form the engine of the tenfold growth strategy. The objective is simple: to convert Uganda's natural resources, human capital, and innovation into wealth, jobs, and prosperity. And I would like now to detail each. Under agro-industrialization, Mr. Speaker, agriculture remains the backbone of Uganda's economy. It employs millions of Ugandans, supplies raw materials to industry, produces exports, and sustains livelihoods across the country. However, Uganda's future prosperity will not come from producing more raw commodities alone. It will come from increasing productivity, expanding value addition, strengthening agro-processing, and improving market access. Government, therefore, continues to invest strategically across the entire agricultural value chain. Mr. Speaker, agricultural transformation begins with science. This year, government made significant advances in agricultural research and genetics. The Antique Vaccine Facility at the National Livestock Resources Research Institute in Natchez, Sasa, was completed and is now operational, producing about 36 million doses, serving 18 million livestock in the first year. The government also produced foot and mouth disease vaccines and continued to advance research on disease-resistant crops and livestock breeds. These investments will reduce production losses, raise productivity, and increase farmer incomes. On water for production and irrigation, Mr. Speaker, climate change continues to expose farmers to significant weather-related risks. Government is therefore accelerating investment in irrigation and water for production infrastructure to reduce dependence on rainfall. Progress was registered on several major irrigation projects, including Kabuyanda Dam in Isinjiro District, Atali in Buramburi District, Wadelai in Pakwach District, Achomai in Bukedea District, Namaisu in the Bududa District, Chembo Mbai in the Buko District, Sip Irrigation Scheme in Buramburi District. Solar powered irrigation schemes are also being rolled out across the country. These investments will support all year round production, increase resilience, and improve agricultural productivity. On mechanization and animal health, Mr. Speaker, government continued developing regional agricultural mechanization centers and animal disease control centers to improve efficiency and productivity in the agricultural sector. Progress was registered Mbale, Chijandongo, Bunyangabo, Nakaseke, Katine, and several other districts. These facilities are improving access to modern agricultural equipment, veterinary services, and disease surveillance systems. On expanding commercial coffee production, Mr. Speaker, sir, coffee remains one of the Uganda's most important export commodities. Government has therefore expanded coffee cultivation into northern and eastern Uganda. During the year, two coffee mother gardens were established and over 1.4 million coffee seedlings distributed to 7,532 farmers in northern Uganda. This intervention will broaden participation in one of the Uganda's most profitable agricultural value chains. Financial year 2026-2027 priorities for agro-industrialization. Mr. Speaker, a total of Uganda shillings 2.26 trillion has been allocated to the agro-industrialization program in financial year 2026-2027. This is the highest allocation ever to this program. Priority interventions include 1, agricultural research and innovation, including funding for anthrax vaccine commercialization; 2, irrigation and water for production; 3, extension services, more extension workers and their facilitation to reach farmers; 4, provision of good quality agricultural input; 5, post-harvest handling and storage; 6, agro-processing and value addition; 7, quality assurance and certification; and 8, expanding market access. The objective is to move Uganda from exporting low commodities to value addition agricultural products. On tourism development, Mr. Speaker, sir, tourism is one of Uganda's most powerful export industries. It generates foreign exchange, it creates jobs, it supports thousands of enterprises, and showcases Uganda to the world. The following achievements have been registered this financial year. Uganda's global tourism visibility is at an all-time high, driven by the aggressive destination marketing under the Explore Uganda, the Power of Africa brand, the country's growing international profile, and industry endorsements are evident in its recent global presence and awards. In the North America market, Uganda won the Best in Show Africa at the 2026 New York Travel and Adventure Show, bolstered by endorsements from the renowned travel journalists. In the Asian market, the country won the Best Exquisite Destination Award at the Outbound Travel Mart in Mumbai and gained strong visibility at the South Asia's leading travel and tourism exhibition in New Delhi. Mr. Speaker, government has intensified the international marketing of destination Uganda through participation in major tourism exhibitions and targeted promotion campaigns in Europe, the United Kingdom, North America, Asia, East Africa, and North Africa. Government also leveraged high-profile platforms, including the Africa Cup of Nations AFCON 2025 tournament in Morocco and the 2025 World Travel Market in London, showcase Uganda's tourism potential and attract visitors. In addition, Uganda successfully secured a bid to host two international conferences, further strengthening its position as a preferred destination for meetings, incentives, conferences, and exhibitions. Uganda also launched the economic and commercial diplomacy strategy as a key instrument for advancing Uganda's economic transformation. Uganda, under this strategy, Uganda missions abroad have been assigned career performance targets focusing on four measurable economic outcomes, mainly tourism marketing, trade promotion, investment attraction, and diaspora mobilization. The economic and commercial diplomacy strategy is contributing to improved economic performance with increased international tourist arrivals and receipts, foreign direct investment inflows, and merchandise export earnings. Government will continue to leverage its missions abroad to market Uganda as a preferred tourism, conference, and investment destination, expand market access for Ugandan products, attract strategic investors, and mobilize the diaspora to support national development. On tourism infrastructure, Mr. Speaker, government continued to invest in the tourism infrastructure and attractions. Progress was made in the development of museums and cultural heritage sites in Moroto and Dokoro. Investments are also underway in the Gwenzori Central Circuit Trail, Chitagata Hot Springs, and visitor facilities at the source of the Nile in Jinja, including an observatory deck and a modern restaurant. Government also established a new wildlife education center in Mbale. These investments are enhancing visitor experiences and strengthening Uganda's competitiveness as a tourism destination. In financial year 2026-2027, the priorities under tourism are the following. Mr. Speaker, the government has allocated Uganda shillings 567.32 billion to continue developing the tourism sector next financial year. The priority interventions will include 1. Branding and marketing of Uganda as a tourism and investment destination. 2. Tourism infrastructure development. 3. Construction of highway sanitation facilities and tourism site refreshment centers. 4, improving and enforcing hospitality standards and training. 5, conservation and wildlife protection to increase wildlife population across the national parks. 6, health tourism. And 7, economic and commercial diplomacy. I now come to mineral-based industrial development. Mr. Speaker, sir, Uganda is richly endowed with minerals. However, sustainable transformation will come not from extracting minerals, but from processing and adding value to them. Government strategy is therefore to transform mineral wealth into industrial wealth, and the following steps have been taken in that direction. 1, government intensified mineral exploration and quantification. Geochemical surveys for gold were undertaken in Kasanda, Chiboga, and Mvende districts. Exploration confirmed an estimated 300 million tons of iron ore in Kabale, Rubanda, Ruchiga, Soro, Kanungu, Chiruhura, and Hoima districts. Surveys of copper prospects were conducted at the Bukusu carbonatite complex, which also has the potential for rare earth elements, as well as at the Boma and the Gwensakara sites. Evaluation of uranium, manganese, lithium, and nickel deposits is also ongoing across the country. 2, to add value to Uganda's limestone, a new clinker factory